engaging sermons on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. The high priest rose up and all his companions, that is, the party of the Sadducees, and filled with jealousy, laid hands upon the apostles and put them in the public jail. But during the night, the angel of the Lord opened the doors of the prison and let them out, and said, "Go and take your place in the temple area, and tell the people everything about this life." When they heard this, they went to the temple early in the morning and taught. When the high priest and his companions arrived, they convened the Sanhedrin, the full Senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the jail to have them brought in. But the court officers who went did not find them in the prison. So they came back and reported, "We found the jail securely locked and the guards stationed outside the doors. But when we opened, we found no one inside." When the captain of the temple guard and the chief priests heard this report, they were at a loss about them as to what this would come to. Then someone came in and reported to them, "The men whom you put in prison are in the temple area and are teaching the people." Then the captain and the court officers went and brought them, but without force, because they were afraid of being stoned by the people. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Lord hears the cry of the poor. The Lord hears the cry of the poor. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be ever in my mouth. Let my soul glory in the Lord. The lowly will hear me and be glad. The Lord hears the cry of the poor. Glorify the Lord with me. Together let us extol his name. I sought the Lord and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. The Lord hears the cry of the poor. Look to him that you may be radiant with joy and your faces may not blush with shame. When the poor one called out, the Lord heard, and from all his distress he saved him. The Lord hears the cry of the poor. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. Taste and see how good the Lord is. Blessed the man who takes refuge in him. The Lord hears the cry of the poor. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Alleluia, alleluia. Alleluia. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that all who believe in him might have eternal life. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him will not be condemned. But whoever does not believe has already been condemned, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the verdict, that the light came into the world, but people preferred darkness to light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light, and does not come toward the light, so that his works might not be exposed. But whoever lives the truth comes to the light, so that his works may be clearly seen as done in God. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. No doubt the most famous verse in the Bible. God so loved the world. God. We are talking here about the eternal being, the Almighty One. The one who needs no one and needs nothing. Who always existed and always will exist. The judge of the world and Lord of all. He loves us. Many people believe in God. They're not just sure what he thinks of them. We believe in God in all his fullness and that he loves us. He so loved the world. Now, this love and the giving of his son as an expression of it is completely free. Nothing inside of God compels him to make us or to send his son to save us. Nothing inside of God compels that. And nothing outside of God can compel him to do that or anything else. So it's completely, freely given love. He so loved the world. Starting when? Brothers and sisters, God loved the world. God loved us freely and infinitely. For as long as he has been God. Think about that for a moment. Never was there a time that God was God, that he didn't love you and love the world. What is this world that he loves? He loves everything he has made. There was an idea early on in Christianity, and to some extent it persists today in various forms of false teaching, that God made the spiritual world, angels and souls and spirits, etc., and that the devil made the physical world, the earth and the human body and things we can see, and that there is therefore this division, the spiritual world being good, the physical world being bad. That is not Christian teaching. The Christian teaching, we see it in Scripture, is that he made all things, anything that exists, was made by God, and in fact, in and through the Word of God, which is Christ Jesus, existing even before his incarnation. And he loves everything he made. So it's not like certain things that were made are good and certain things that were made are bad. No. God made everything and he loves everything he made, including the human body, including all physical world, the universe. And now this is what he makes the object of his freely given and infinite and eternal love. The whole universe. So he doesn't want anything bad to happen to any part of the universe. And he will restore in Christ all that he made, not just spiritual things, but physical things as well, not just human things, but everything. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. First of all, let's look at that phrase, only begotten. If you have a son, and many of you have a son or you have a daughter, you existed before your child did, right? You know that as a parent. It is not that way with the Son of God. The Son didn't start existing after the Father. In God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit always existed together from all eternity. They are co-eternal. And the Son, therefore, as it says here, is only begotten one. He's begotten of the Father. Mysteriously inside the life of the Trinity, the Father expresses himself in the Son. Only begotten. There's only one. There's only one God, first of all. Three persons. He's the only Son. And then the Son and the Father together generate the Holy Spirit. But again, it's not in a sequence of time. This is always happening right from the beginning and for all eternity. Whom did he give? His only begotten Son. The one that died on the cross is the one that was laid in the manger at Christmas. The one that came into the manger at Christmas and had been in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary, that person is the Son of God. Yes, he has a human nature. He has a human body, human soul, but he's a divine person. There's no separate human person, Jesus. There's human nature that is possessed by the divine person. So the one whom he gave to us by making him appear in the flesh, taking part in our human nature, gave to us at Christmas as the greatest gift, gave to us on the cross. The one he gave is God. Christmas celebrates the birth of God. Good Friday, we observe the death of God in the flesh. Again, a God who always existed, who in and of himself is beyond suffering, beyond death. He could only be born and suffer and die because he took on a human nature. But the person who's giving himself to us and whom the Father is giving over to the death of the cross is God. That's why we call Mary the mother of God, not just the mother of Jesus. That's why we can say on Good Friday, God shed his blood for us. He gave his only begotten Son. How could the Father give the Son to crucifixion? Isn't he a loving Father? How could he do that to his Son? Well, the answer that has come down to us by theologians over the centuries is that this was because the Son was inspired with so much love as the Father poured out his life on him that he offered his life willingly. Remember, Jesus said, no one takes my life from me. I lay it down freely. I have the power to lay it down and the power to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. As the Father has loved me, furthermore, he said, so I have loved you. This command I received from my Father, a command to love and to redeem the people. How could the Father send the Son to the cross? It was a free act of love. So it was by inspiring love in him. It wasn't killing him. It was inspiring love in him to give himself freely. He gave his only begotten Son. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. And it's with that same power of love that we are to love one another. So all this happened so that everyone who believes in him might not perish. We have seen that the parables of Jesus, the miracles of Jesus, the raising of the dead, the healing of the blind, the strengthening of the limbs of the lame and making them leap for joy, the healing of the paralytic, the feeding of the crowd with the bread and the fish, all these wonders were done. The changing of the water into wine and on it goes, were done so that people might believe. In fact, all of Scripture was written. We read at the end of John's Gospel, all these things were written down for what purpose? Not so that they could answer every question you have in life, not so that they could satisfy you with knowledge. These things in the Scriptures were written down for one purpose, that you might believe in the Son of God. And through that belief, have life in his name. And so we affirm, it's part of our baptismal vows, that God exists, that Christ was sent by him, that he died, he rose again, he's coming back, he sent the Holy Spirit, he established the church. We believe these things. We assert them, accept them in our mind, and then we obey these truths. Believing includes obedience. Paul speaks about the obedience of faith. It's a union with God. We're submitting our lives to him. We're submitting our minds to his truth. We're submitting our wills to his commands. And this belief incorporates us into the church. We are a community. We're not just a bunch of people running around each believing his own thing. Or blowing in the wind with basically whatever is taught in any particular time of history. And the beliefs don't change as the centuries move on. No, no, no. We believe in this eternal truth revealed in Christ and accepted by the community of the church. You become a Christian, it means you believe certain things, you don't believe other things. You become a Catholic, you know, you believe certain things and you don't believe other things. People who want to blur those boundary lines aren't doing anybody any favors, much less themselves. So that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. Adam and Eve put on the human family the curse of perishing because they rebelled against the God who made them. That brought sin and suffering and death into the world. But God didn't want to leave us there. God never wanted to leave us there. God made all things that they might have life, that they might have being. And so he promised right from the time of that initial fall into sin in the Garden of Eden, even back then, what we call the proto-gospel is announced in the book of Genesis, that the serpent's head would be crushed by the seed of the woman, that there would be someone coming later who would have victory over sin and death. He's talking about Christ. God gave his only begotten Son. That's the fulfillment, not only of that proto-gospel in Genesis, but of every prophecy since then, reminding people that God has not abandoned us. And what might we have? Eternal life. That doesn't just mean life that lasts forever, although it does. That means life of the kind that God has. We become partakers of the divine nature. And eternal life does not mean a life that simply begins after we die. It means a life that begins now by faith in the one who was crucified and rose again. That all might have eternal life. A life that begins now, that joins us together as a church, and that will raise our bodies from the dead. We will be with God. We will be with one another. We will be ourselves. We won't be a different person. We will be ourselves. We will know each other. And of course, we will be able to embrace Christ physically, not just spiritually. This is eternal life. Every day in heaven, better than the one before, and going on for all eternity. If perishing were not a danger, God would not have given his only Son to the cross to prevent it. Of course it's a danger. Scripture reminds us that we need to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Jesus warns about the judgment. He talks about those who will be thrust into the outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Hell is real. The rich man went there not because he was rich, but because he ignored Lazarus begging at his table. And Father Abraham said, between you and us there is a great chasm so that no one may cross from your side to ours or our side to yours. The conclusion of Matthew's gospel says that the king at the end of the ages will gather all the nations before him and separate them. As a shepherd separates sheep from goats, he will tell the damned to go into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels, and he will tell the righteous to come into the kingdom, the everlasting life of the kingdom of God. This is an everlasting division. It's a division explained in this gospel passage today by the fact that some embrace the light, Christ that is, and others reject the light and cling to what is evil. Don't be afraid that there's division. That's not the problem. Make sure you're on the right side of the division. That's the issue. Because God doesn't want you to perish. And he's given us a way to avoid it. Accepting the life that comes from the one who was crucified and whose resurrection we now continue to celebrate. Indeed, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. Amen.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.